You know, since Haiti, since their pact with the devil run out, I think it was in 2004 or something, a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, up until then, the nation of Haiti, voodoo was their god. It was a national god. You know, the president, right on to everybody, worshiped the devil in Haiti. After this went away, this pact they'd made with the devil went away, some Christian organizations went down there and met with the president and wanted to have a one-day national day of prayer on the lawn of the palace. And he said, absolutely not. You will not be able to have a prayer meeting in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth on my grounds. Do you know God knows how to get people's attention? Do you know that after the devastation the other day, that president came to those group of people and said, I demand that you have a prayer meeting on my grounds. Now, of course, his building is totally destroyed. You know, before it was a big, beautiful palace, but now it's totally in shambles. He said, and I demand that you come and you spend all day praying in the name of Jesus, but I don't want a one-day prayer meeting. I want five. Now, that's the same man that just a while back said, no, you can't have it. But now he wants to call upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he said, you have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hey, is there any other name we can pray in? No, no. But isn't it amazing how a man that said no now is looking for something? Whenever you see the devastation of that place, and of course, you know, what never ceases to amaze me, I was talking to a man that made two trips down there in a DC-3 just this week. He went down and took loads of morphine, drugs, whatever, everything that they needed, and he took them to a specific ministry that took doctors with them that were allowed to go out from where he landed, and they took this stuff. They had it never ceases to amaze me. When he went down there and they took that first Super DC-3 loaded full of stuff, he thought, now how are we, or where are we going to get trucks to deliver this stuff to the people? Because from where they are to Port-au-Prince, where they land, it's a six-hour drive across the countryside. How are we going to get there? He said, God, I know you have everything, and I know you know everything. So he said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to provide us some transportation to get all this drugs and these doctors and everything over there quickly to the people that need it. And he landed. And when he landed, he taxed up there, and all of a sudden, here comes a great big Marine helicopter. And the thing lands out there. And this friend of mine gets out and goes over and starts talking to these Marines and find out my friend is an ex-Marine pilot for many years. So they hit it right off. And he says, you know, where are you guys going with this helicopter? They said, oh, we're flying over to Port-au-Prince. He said, you got anything to haul in? They said, no. He said, I've got a DC-3 fully loaded here. Would you guys put these drugs and stuff on here and carry these doctors over there? They said, we'd be happy to. Now, is God good?
Yeah.
And so they carried that load over there with the doctors and everything. And guess how far it is across there from where they landed to Port-au-Prince in that big high-powered helicopter? 30 minutes. Instead of being 6 hours driving on the bad road, 30 minutes flying time across, and they're there. And he said, I'm going back to get another load. And they said, well, when are you going to be back? He said, I will be back here by 9 o'clock in the morning. They said, we'll be back. We'll come back and we'll take your load over there. And so he said the next morning at 9 o'clock, about 1 or 2 minutes till nine, he's on the ground landing there and rolling out. And some of the doctors and stuff that went down said, and people said, how are you going to get this stuff over there? He said, you ain't going to believe this, but you just hide and watch and see what God does. He said, well, we got all these big patches that's got to be moved. Where are you going to get the people to do this? He said, just pay attention. He said, I pulled up and stopped, and here comes this big helicopter. He flew down, he landed right there, they shut down everything, they opened the doors, and here's the outcome, about 4 or 5 big Marine troops, and man, they started unloading that DC-3 and putting it on that helicopter, and them doctors and all that stuff, and he said in just about a half hour, they had unloaded the DC-3 and had the helicopter loaded, and they were on their way. Now, is God an awesome God?
Yes.
When you pray, what can he do?
Anything.
When are we going to get that in our spirits? When are we going to get that down, that the God that put us here, give us this power and authority, when we pray in faith to do great and awesome things? Now, there was another group that's a great Christian organization, and you'd know exactly who they were if I were to tell you. Great organization. Whenever they had the earthquake, this organization got containers full of stuff. They air freighted it down there for these people and everything. And guess where all those containers, which are many, Guess where those containers are still at today? Sitting at the airport in Port-au-Prince. The thugs will not let them take them off the airport. So all those poor people that needed all those thousands of dollars worth of drugs and everything was flown down there by a big Christian ministry has yet to this day to be put to use because of the thugs. Well, somebody didn't pray right. Somebody didn't pray right. So we are letting the enemy beat us because we don't know how to pray. But this other little team, they knew how to pray. In fact, this little team that took this DC-3 down there, when they got this big load of stuff, he said, I got a DC, super DC-3 load. And so he went and checked there in Miami to see if he could rent one. And they said, yeah, we got a super DC-3. We'll rent you. He said, how much? He said, $15,500 a trip. That's a lot of money. You know that? So he called a minister here in the Metroplex. In fact, I'm just going to tell you who it was. He called Kenneth Copeland Ministries. He said, Kenneth, he said, I've got a DC-3 down here in Florida that I need to $15,500 to fly this load of supplies down to Haiti. Do you have any idea where I can get the money? He said, I'll get it for you. He said, within hours, I had the money wired down there. And he said, when they brought the stuff, I realized I got two DC-3 loads of stuff. I'm going to have to go again tomorrow. I called Kenneth Copeland back and said, Kenneth, I didn't know this, but they've delivered so much stuff down here. I got another airplane load I need to take tomorrow. I need another 15-5. Kenneth said, I won't even go out to the people. I'll just write you a check out of my ministry and send it to you. And he wrote a check and sent it, so he got both loads down there. Well, so anytime anybody badsmouths Kenneth Copeland, you remember that. He's a good guy. You know, he's a great man of God. He loves Jesus. Yeah, he may not teach everything exactly the way you believe it, but it'll make any difference. He's still a great man of God. And this ministry is a great blessing. You know, hey. So now then, when we think about all these things, and let's look at some of the scriptures that teach us who we are and what we can do in the name of Jesus. First of all, let's look at who our enemy is. It's not the Muslims. It's not the Hindus. It's not the Buddhists. Let's go to the scripture in Ephesians 6:12 and let's see who our enemy is. Ephesians 6:12. Let's see who we as Christians are fighting against. We're fighting against someone that most of us as Christians, I didn't even know these critters were my enemy. I was in the Baptist church and I really heard almost no teaching on who my enemy was. I've been in church, folks, all my life. I mean, I have been a Christian since I was 11. But in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I would have swore always when I had a problem, it was always through a human being. You know that? Somebody got crossways with me that I didn't like. And so if you'd have said, who do you fight against? I said, that old boy right there, I can't stand him. Have we ever done that, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure we have. Back when we was younger, didn't know these things. We thought our enemy was flesh and blood, didn't we?
Right.
Sure, we just knew it. If you didn't believe it, ask us. We could tell you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, who are all these critters?
Demons.
Spirit beings. Some of them are walking on earth, some of them flying in the heavenlies. But they are your enemy. They are my enemy. It's not flesh and blood. So a man or a woman is not my enemy, right? Sometimes that's hard to remember, isn't it? When somebody does something wrong to you or treats you wrong or reaches up and slaps you in the face. That's why when the Lord says somebody slaps you on one cheek, turn the other one. It takes a real man to do that. I heard a preacher one day. They said, this little preacher, and of course I'll tell you who the preacher was. He's dead and gone many years, but his name was J. Vernon McGee. He'd been on the radio forever. And the man asked him, said, you know, what do you do if somebody slaps you in the face? He said, well, the scripture says turn the other cheek. The guy said, well, what if he slaps you on that side too? He said, well, the Lord didn't tell me what to do there, so I said, I might fight back. I thought, well, that's kind of the way we are, isn't it? But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. If that's who we're fighting against, then why do we fight against man all the time? I mean, let me ask you the question. When's the last time we had a nation come against us and you heard Washington say, it's time to pray? Oh, so who do we fight against then, Jack? Well, but us really in Washington, who are we fighting against? Flesh and blood. That's who we're fighting. We don't even know these other critters exist, do we? Now, if we did, in other words, I read an article the other day that said in the first, I think it was 100 years or what it was, or first 75 years or whatever it was of this nation, it told how many thousand times that Congress, the Senate, or the President called for a time of prayer over the situations they were dealing with. What has happened to us? Why have we had such a great country? Because we used to pray. Now we don't pray. In fact, what happened at the National Day of Prayer this last year? Our president didn't even show up for it. He don't believe in it. You know, and I've heard his speech that he made that morning at that breakfast and what he had to say about, you know, we do things in different ways, but we all have the same goal for this country. No, we don't have the same goal for this country. My goal for this country and his goal is entirely two different things. Guarantee it. But he don't know who the enemy is. He does not know who's running his life. He's never figured it out. But guess what? He's only one of about 550 men in Washington that's the case. Now, there's a few of them up there that do know Jesus. A few. But the majority of them do not, I will have to say. Now then, let's see if this is who we fight against. Now let's see what do we do about this in verse 13. Let's go to verse 13 and 14, and we'll read a few verses down through Ephesians 6, 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. God has provided armor for us, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The whole armor of God. Well, what in the world would the armor of God be? Well, let's see what it says. Let's go to the next verse, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, let's stop and look at that a minute. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How can that be a weapon? How can truth be a weapon?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Authority of the Believer, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.